To all of you, I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to open your Bibles up, you can turn to Psalm 121. In our homiletics class, the students will be preaching from the Psalms. The first set of sermons will come from the life of David and the Psalms that reflect portions of his life. And then the second set will be the imprecatory Psalms. I'm not preaching from either one of those categories this morning. I just thought I'd bring this. I could say that it was providential. This psalm is known as the Traveler's Psalm, and yesterday I know of three car accidents. Ryan Somerville said he was in an accident yesterday. He's okay. Brennan thinks his car was totaled. He's okay. My children were going to school and with a friend, and they hit someone, and they're okay. So and I'm traveling tomorrow, so maybe that's part of the reason for this. But no, really, I just wanted to read this and meditate on it with you just for our encouragement this morning. So hear the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we ask this morning as we continue to seek your presence and your blessing that you would impress the words of this particular psalm on our hearts, that we would not only hear them here in chapel, but that your Spirit would make sure that we carry them around with us this day, and onward to our encouragement and to our great comfort. For we pray it through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Keeper. When you hear that word, you may think first and foremost of beehives or soccer fields rather than perhaps the Lord. That's what I would think. We think about someone tending, a beekeeper tending over his hive, or a goalkeeper keeping things out of the net. And maybe don't often when we think the Lord is my, we think more the Lord is my Savior, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my King. But do you think of him as the Lord is your keeper, as it says there so clearly in verse 5? What does that mean? Well, like the beekeeper protects his hive and the goalkeeper, the keep, tries to keep those balls out of the net, so the Lord is very committed to your protection, to watching over and caring for your soul. That's what the psalm reminds us about this morning. It really ties into that doctrine that we know as the perseverance of the saints. And when we talk about that doctrine, we need to really understand it in the fullness that it really should mean to us. I like what Packer says about it. Let it first be said that in declaring the eternal security of God's people, it is clearer to speak of their preservation than, as is commonly stated, their perseverance. The assertion that believers persevere in their life and obedience despite all things is true. But the reason is that Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, persists in preserving them. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your keeper. He is the one that preserves your soul. And so let's look at this psalm and really be encouraged to lift our eyes to the Lord, who is our keeper. That's what I want to just meditate on this morning. Lift your eyes to the Lord, your keeper. And I want to emphasize two parts of that. Lift your eyes to the Lord, for he is your keeper. We know this psalm is one of the 15 known as the Song of Ascents. It has that title at the top of it. The people of God were told like to sing these psalms on their journeys to Jerusalem, particularly during those three major annual festivals they had earlier in the year, the Passover, with the Feast of the First Fruits, then more in the middle of the year, they had the Feast of Weeks, and then in the fall time, the Feast of Booths. And they would sing these songs, and they were called the Songs of Ascent because, as you know, Jerusalem was set on Mount Zion. They would literally go up a mountain, just like we might talk about going up Mount Washington, you know, up the incline to Mount Washington. They're going up. As a matter of fact, the next psalm, Psalm 122, says that. I was glad to hear them say, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." And so these were the songs that God's people sang on this journey. And as the psalmist is going up, he cries out, "I'll lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come?" And it could be that, you know, I'm sure there was the intent of it being, in a sense, a traveler's psalm. They were asking for protection on that journey. But it wasn't necessarily that dangerous a journey. They were, you know, often traveling in families and large groups. It was a time of joy and celebration in the life of Israel. So I don't think it was ultimately the physical journey and the physical help that the psalmist is crying out here for, but rather the spiritual help that we need. This pilgrimage they were making is a picture of the journey that we are all on. We are on a pilgrimage to the heavenly city, to the true Mount Zion. And boy, do we need a lot of help. We just cannot get there on our own. Our sin cripples us. This world, it weighs us down. Satan is at every twist and turn of that path, seeking to tempt us away from the Lord and binding us up in things. And we are just unable, incapable of arriving there safely unless we have help and a great helper. And we have that, a great and good keeper in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I remind you of that pilgrimage long ago when he traveled to Jerusalem. Earlier in his ministry, you might remember, our Lord was taunted by his very own brothers. It was at the time of one of these feasts, and his brothers were saying, "Hey, why don't you go up to Jerusalem?" And, you know, in a sense, they were saying, "Go up and show off your, you know, your superpowers. Make more of a name for yourself." That seems, at least from their opinion at the time, what Jesus wanted to do. You remember how he answered them, "Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." We know he went up a little later, but it was secretly, not for the ultimate intent when he would go up to Jerusalem. And that time arrived. It was a few years later. It was another one of those feast times, the time of Passover. And he pulls his disciples aside by themselves. The scriptures say, when Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, and he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem." But we know they didn't make quite the same journey on that occasion that he did. And he reminded them of that. "We're going to go up to Jerusalem, but there's going to come a time of separation. Because I'm going up," and he went on to say, "the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes. And they will condemn him to death. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock him, to scourge him, and to crucify him. And then he'll be raised up on the third day." And our Lord made that journey. And we're to keep remembering that journey over and over again as we travel ourselves through this world and for our own life and salvation. That's why the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 2, look to Jesus. Lift your eyes up to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author. He is the one who originated this path. He's that trailblazer, as you know. He's the one that went to the cross for us. And so he is committed then to being your perfecter, your keeper, and he will watch over you. The one who paid for you with his very life blood, will he not keep you? Surely, surely he will. So lift your eyes to the Lord, for he is your keeper. And let's think some more about what that means, because here in the psalm, the psalmist really gives us four ways in which we can apply this in our lives and be encouraged by the way the Lord keeps us. Six different times, here I'll hat tip to CJ, six different times the Hebrew word shamar, the word that means keep, is used in this little psalm. So it's clearly a theme. And this word is a word that does mean to protect, to watch over. It was often used for the eyelids. They were the keeper, the protector of the eyes. And so the Lord wants to keep you and is committed to keeping you. And how does he accomplish that? Well, first of all, we see that the Lord keeps you every step along the way. He keeps you every step along the way. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. We do know of people who profess faith in Christ, who travel with us in the church for a while, but then that rock that was meant to be their foundation becomes a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling, and they fall away. And I've seen that too many times in the ministry. And Peter says that happens because of their disobedience. They don't love the Lord ultimately to follow him and obey him, as we heard Dr. Tweeddale saying a few days ago. And we need to make sure then that we are keeping our eyes on the Lord. Maybe you fear sometimes. You wander. You start going through a phase, a time in your life of disobedience where you're wondering if you'll get back on that path. Well, the scriptures say, lift your eyes to him. Just look to him again, and he will surely help you. A few years ago, we were over in Ireland, and my wife and I enjoyed some time over on the wild coast of Western Ireland in a region known as Connemara. And in that area, there is a place called the 12 Bens. These are 12 small mountains, but mountains nonetheless there on the western coast. And we ended up one day going up to the top of one of them known as Diamond Hill. I'd say it was probably a little over 1,000 feet or more up. So it was a good, vigorous walk, but it was made possible because there was this nice stone path, and at times there were even steps carved into the stone to help you up to the top of the mountain. What a beautiful sight. We were up there, and you could see the coast with the ocean and the rocky cliffs, and then the sheep in between you and the coast there, and the green pastures of Ireland. Behind us was a loch, a lake where an ancient castle had been built and was reflected in the water. It was just a gorgeous, wonderful sight. Well, right as we got to the top of that, there were three men, middle-aged men, working on the path, really shoveling more stone on it. And right beside them were these huge bins, wire crates filled with several tons of this crushed stone. And I just saw them sitting there, and I wondering, how did they get up here? So I asked one of the men, and without saying a word, he just went like this. Well, I told him this American has been around enough Irishmen to know when his leg's being pulled. And so I said, no, really, how'd you guys get this up here? And he just went like this, helicopter. His help came from above. And so does ours. Every time that we're walking on this path and we need help, we just need to look to the Lord. He's committed to helping us every step along the way. And he will protect us and watch over us and keep us from stumbling. Isn't that what it says in the book of Jude? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority from this time forth and forevermore. Same thing, same words this psalm ends with. From now through eternity, he is committed to keep you, to keep your foot along the way. He also will keep you every moment of the day. Verse 4 says, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. You see, this psalm is not only a great traveler's psalm, but it's one we could sing at night before we go to bed as well. Because when we go to sleep at night, that's when we are most vulnerable, isn't it? You know, there's thieves, it's dark, our fears arise, we have nightmares and distresses. And spiritually speaking, we can go through periods of darkness and spiritual slumber and, again, get really fearful. But God's with us, even when it seems that he is, and he's just as much with us during those times as the times when we're enjoying, you know, the fullness of his presence and reality in our life, and we're experiencing that in a vivid way. He's always with us. He's always watching over us. And it reminds me of that time when I was a young child, and I didn't really grow up in a household of faith, but I would, you know, on weekends go see Nanny, my little 4'10" grandmother, who was full of the Lord. And even though I wasn't being instructed in God's ways, and it took time for these things to take root in my life, still she taught me to pray that prayer that has our word in it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He keeps watch over us. Even when our eyes are closed, we can lift them to him and know that he'll help us through times of spiritual blindness, difficulty, distress. Thirdly, he keeps your every foe at bay. Verses 5 through 7. The scriptures say here, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Remember God's purpose for putting the sun in the sky during the day and the moon at night was to remind us that he rules over both night and day. And there are to be perpetual reminders to us that as he governs over the night and the day, that he's caring for us and he's watching over us. Those great lights weren't put up there to smite us or to bring us harm, but he wants to keep us and preserve us and help us overcome all our foes. Nothing under the sun or the moon will ultimately harm the people of God. And the Lord loves to keep us. The scriptures talk about this in so many different ways. The scriptures talk about the Lord keeping you in his love, keeping you in his covenant, keeping you as his sheep, keeping you as his children, keeping you as his treasures, keeping you in his presence. We hear in the 17th Psalm, keep me, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't close his eyelids when it comes to us. They are ever open, and he's ever watchful over the people of God. And so we can pray like the psalmist. Like Psalm 141, verse 9, keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set for me and from the snares of those who do iniquity. And we've seen, haven't we not, the Lord keep his people. I have seen the Lord preserve his people from fierce assaults of the evil one who wants to tempt them. And it just seems like they can't hold on anymore, but the Lord comes and saves and delivers them. I've seen the Lord preserve his people from gospel haters and family members who now despise them, from false teachers who try to mislead them. I've seen the Lord lift up people who've been overwhelmed by the great trials that have come into their life and from the overwhelming depression that can strike them. I've seen the Lord deliver my congregation. When the city officials a number of years ago had plans to seize our building by eminent domain, and we became aware of what they were up to and started engaging them. This actually happened. They came and met with us at our session meeting. We were explaining to them why we believe the Lord had brought us to the heart of the city in this building and why we wanted to continue to worship and minister here. And then one of our elders said, you know, just another reason we love this building is the sanctuary is so beautifully acoustically for our singing, which we do a cappella. And after we got done meeting with them, they said, can we see your sanctuary? And so we took them up and showed them the sanctuary. And I kid you not, they asked us to sing for them. And so our elders and deacons stood up in front of the sanctuary, 10 of us, I guess. And these officials sat in the front pew, and we sang Psalm 122. Wow. I was glad to hear them sing, to the Lord's house, let us go. Amen. And so we preached to them, even as we sang to them. And they took it off the table. And our congregation is still there. Praise be to God and to God alone. Well, not only does he keep you every step of the way, every moment of the day, keep your foes at bay, but he'll keep you whether you go or stay. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. When you leave this chapel, or you leave a sanctuary of worship and you go out into the world, the Lord goes right along with you. That's his covenant promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I just want to kind of bring this to a close by just thinking about your time here at RPTS. You've come to RPTS, but you haven't come to stay. You've come to go. And you're going to be going out, and the Lord will go with you wherever you go. Now, we hope some of you will come back and visit us. But, I've just been thinking more and more about there's going to be some of us here for that might not be a possibility because we're sending some of them pretty far away. And even more importantly, and this is what's so humbling to me, I knew I was going to get choked up if I said this, but it's just been really hitting me. We're sending some of them to places where their life will be in jeopardy for the sake of the gospel. You see, it's not only students that learn at the seminary. Amen. I've been learning a lot and humbled a lot by the people God's been bringing to us here and what they're going to go through as they head back. But the beautiful thing is even if God takes his people through a moment of trial that does lead to their death, that going out is really a coming in. It's a coming home. And he's going to call all of us to it one day, one way or another. And even through that valley of the shadow of death, we know the Lord is with me. And he'll preserve me. And he'll preserve you. And one day we're all going to be on top of that mountain. And we're going to be looking back at our life journey. And we're going to be saying to one another, the Lord is your keeper. 100 times, no, 1,000 times we'll say, look at what God did. He was your keeper. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the encouragements your word gives to us. You love us so much more than we could really think or imagine, and we need help. We pray your spirit would strengthen us inwardly so we could see again and again and again your commitment to us, your love for us. Preserve your people. God, send these laborers out into your harvest fields near and far, and God, may their life's testimony truly be this one. The Lord is my keeper. For we ask it through Jesus and for his sake and glory. Amen.